by the powers vested in me by the Federal Communications Commission, I command you to get on the microphone in a serious manner and continue this broadcast.
You are listening to the Massive Report Podcast, your complete source of information, news, and analysis of your awesome town crew.
Yeah,
I mean, we're gonna stick on to the playoffs and all that sort of stuff, but
we are.
Yeah,
you mean I have to keep looking at you guys?
Yeah, I know, gross, huh? Yeah, it's the Massive Report. Welcome to it, live from Head Docs. Nate over the corner eating some what is that, Chinese food? Nice.
Nate's got China food.
Sam turning the gears, making everything work. Chris and Justin here, and birthday boy Larry. Happy birthday, man.
Thanks. He's enjoying his first legal drink in a bar.
He is.
He's finally 21.
Threw away the fake ID.
Yeah.
It's a DMV earlier today.
So welcome to the show. A lot of stuff to talk about, obviously. As you probably already know if you're listening to this show, crew Saturday eliminated from the playoffs. Bummer. You know, I was there. I did get tossed out of Gillette Stadium.
Yeah, you were only there for like what, 81 minutes?
Yeah, I was there for 81 minutes, and then you know, things happened, and I still am not 100% sure what I did.
I can tell you exactly what you did. I wasn't even there. You showed up.
Yeah, I showed up.
Anywhere
I was standing next to somebody who threw beer at people.
Well, guilt by association.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the MLS.
Yeah, Los MLSs. So, a lot of stuff to talk about with that match. We're actually going to have our New England Revolution expert on next segment, Mr. John Parker from MLS UK, a good friend of the show. He's going to kind of break down his opinion on the match and his opinion on next week's match as well and the implications for the New England Revolution. But we have really nothing to play for at this point other than pride. So as Nate's bump said at the beginning, let's just party hard.
Yeah, I mean, why not, right?
You know, just have a good time on Sunday. And
it's a 4 o'clock game. Tailgate starts at what, noon?
Yeah, something like
11.
That. 11. Get loaded.
Yeah.
Not watch the NFL.
The No Fun League?
The No Fun League.
We don't watch that.
Yeah. So let's talk about the game, though, for a little bit. Chris, I'm going to start with you. Crew obviously dropped the game 3-2. I was there.
Yeah.
It did not look particularly inspired. Obviously, they had some moments of brilliance, or else they wouldn't have gotten any goals. But what were your thoughts watching the game on TV?
Watching from the comforts of the couch, I kind of have to disagree. They did look, at least I thought, for the first 15, 20 minutes, they looked like they were out for blood.
Well, they...
They were out for blood. And I was very impressed with the pace of the game, both ways, both from the crew and from New England. Both teams came out hard and ready to go. And it just seemed as though the harder the crew pushed, the more they just kind of tripped over their own 2 feet. And, you know, I realized that we did score 2 goals and, you know, everything clicked as far as that goes, but we still lost the game. And I think that we lost the game because of we were almost – we, like I play for them. The crew was almost pushing too hard. I don't want to say that they overthought it, but maybe there wasn't enough thought given to it. Mm-hmm. I love the Aaron Schoenfeld sub at halftime. I think that's exactly what the team needed to space things out, because they were playing very, very one-sided for the first half.
Well, obviously that was important because he was a part of both the goals.
He was a part of both goals, and that's great for him. You know, his first career second career assist, first career goal.
Yeah,
that's great for him. But I think just the fact of bringing him on the field opened things up for the offense. However, I'm forever and always going to remember how wide freaking open Diego Fagundes was on his goal, on the last goal. The guy, not to steal a line from the ESPN sports cliche book, but he had his own zip code.
Yeah.
And when you look at the replay, you can see at least two, there may have been more, crew defenders standing still at the top of the 18 while Diego Fagundes made that run to get himself his own zip code.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just, in a game like that, where literally everything is on the line, you cannot be standing on defense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care what your name is. I don't care what else is going on. You cannot be standing, Tony Chani. but you know what? I think it was Aaron Schoenfeld that said that, you know, we came out hard. We did everything that we wanted to do. We played the best that we could. The game just didn't go our way. And as much as it sucks to admit that, yeah, we got outplayed. I don't think it's any one person other than Tony Charney's fault. but we just got outplayed.
Justin, what do you think?
I pretty much agree with everything that Chris just said.
Uh-huh.
I thought that the team played pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I thought they played really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
New England is a better team. And
see, I would even debate that. Maybe they were a better team on the night, but I don't think they're a better team overall.
I think they play really good soccer. And they've been playing together all year with the same coach.
Yeah.
I think that's the difference. A couple weeks ago, I brought up the fact that I thought Tony Chani should be sat and that Bernardo Honor should be moved centrally. And Justin Merrim, perhaps, play. And I think if they would have started that lineup, I think maybe they would have had a better chance.
Yeah, I
just think Tony Chani is just so freaking bad sometimes. I mean, he does some things that are really good sometimes, but then he doesn't have a good game sense, and I don't understand why. I don't understand how you can get this far in soccer and not have a sense of what is going on around you.
Yeah.
And it's just clear that he doesn't have that. And if that's a coaching thing, if that's the fact that he's been with, what, 3 teams now, and none of those coaching staffs have brought him in and said, look, you know, we're going to teach you how to be a better soccer player. I don't know, but it's not there. And I mean, as an athlete, I'm sure he's a great athlete, but he's just not a good soccer player.
If Federico Higuain plays, do we win this match? A healthy Federico Higuain.
I didn't think that he was going to play.
Yeah.
I think last week I said that. I just didn't see there's a way for him to play on this turf.
Was that gamesmanship, the whole, do you guys think that was gamesmanship, the whole, maybe he'll play sort of thing?
Yeah, that's kind of what you have to do.
Yeah.
You have to keep the other team guessing. I mean, but it would not surprise me if they just did not expect him to play or didn't even care.
Yeah.
Because I think the team would play, if that is a game on grass.
Yeah.
And you have these two teams play against each other with that much on the line, I think it could go either way.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. I didn't think he was going to play, though. I mean, just looking at him and that hip and, like, okay, you got this game on this hard turf. There's just no way he was going to play, so.
All right. Larry, your thoughts on the game?
I agree with both you guys. I think the crew played really well. Like, especially in the first half, I was really happy with the way that they were playing. Even though they were sort of pinned back and, you know, New England was controlling the match.
Yeah.
They held them to one goal. But when it seemed like to me, the first time I watched it, second half was just wild MLS kind of AstroTurf kind of soccer.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you look at it a little bit closer, you know, every time the crew pushed forward after, you know, Montreal would just sneak in and score.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that has a lot to do with the turf and if they were playing on a natural surface that it would be a lot different. But every time the Crew pushed, they got their goal, like the two goals. They pushed both times, and New England literally came back the next couple times and were knocking at the door. And then
just decimated them.
When Bliss took Viana out, you know, it was just a free-for-all. And, and Chani was there, but he wasn't, you know. He's an above-average player when he's on, but when he's off, he's like, when he's mentally not there, it's like massive mistakes. And then, you know, Tyson Wall was. But what are you going to do with three defenders, and you got a guy like Fagundes, like, floating around the 18-yard box? There's not much you can do. Yeah. The guy's a special.
I don't know.
If he played for us, I would totally have a Go Diego Go sign. I'm just saying.
And it's funny you should say that, because I would love to have him play for us.
Oh, yeah.
He got his green card today. I would love to have him over here.
Yeah, no, most definitely.
But to answer your question, with three defenders, and maybe I'm being a little too critical, whatever, but if I'm a coach of the Columbus Crew and I look at my three defenders, I see Chad Marshall plus two other guys, I think, we got this.
Yeah.
And you know, because Chad Marshall is the kind of defender that, A, does his freaking job, and, B, will control the back line.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, I don't want to pin it on Chad, but I think that Chad has kind of lost a little bit of that control. You know, he's no longer the barking, controlling backline, you know, quarterback of the defense, if you will. And, you know, I don't necessarily know that Danny O'Rourke would have given up that goal.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, there was options on the bench. I mean, you know, Tyson Wall, he's been playing well the last few games, but I think in a three, when you have three defenders, you know, Tyson Wall is not, he's not going to be your third defender, especially with the way Chad Marshall's been playing. You need somebody like a Daniel Rourke, who's another experienced
player. Who knows to watch the back freaking post.
Yeah, and, you know,
and it will expect Tony Charney to stand around the top of the 18-yard box and not watch the back post.
One of the things Justin said is New England is a better team, and I think they are. Even though they were weakened, they were missing, you know, when, and, but,
it's not your son too.
I mean, they were missing some big pieces, but, you know, the Crew playing in that style, I think New England made mistakes. Like, they could have shut that game down. They didn't do it until like the 80th minute, but they could have done it closer to halftime. And
they could have. They really could have.
Yeah. And the Crew wouldn't have been able to do anything. They brought in McCarthy, and I can't remember who else they brought on. It was Alston or somebody like that.
Yeah, it was Alston.
And, when they brought them in, it completely neutralized the Crew. They weren't able to do anything. And I think New England kind of slipped up there a little bit, and it allowed the Crew to get, you know, made the Crew look a little bit better than they might have otherwise.
Do you guys think that if Brian Bliss had been coached for three more weeks that we would have won this game? If Brian Bliss had three more weeks of head coaching time with the team to get his system implemented?
Yes, that absolutely. I think if they would have made the change on July 1st, like I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
Like we all wanted them to do?
Well, I mean, we came in, I remember coming in that week and saying that we were hearing rumors that there was a change that was on the works.
Right,
And that there was a resignation. I'm not going to say who, but, you know, there was rumors of that. They didn't pan out. I think if that would have happened at that time, I think the Crew are comfortably in the playoffs right now.
Yeah,
I think you could hang this on a lack of a decision.
Well, whoever
made that decision, I don't know.
I
have a feeling who it was.
His name rhymes with bark, but colors.
Well,
I don't know. I have a feeling, but I mean, it just. And that decision, I think, cost the Crew major points, because what happened was afterwards we played against this same New England team, lost 2-0 with two goals in stoppage time.
Yeah.
Because we were inexplicably that game to me was so inexplicable. I mean, you're tied 0-0 going into stoppage time, and you end up losing 2-0 because of the style of play that Robert Warzea.
Well, I want to bring in our playoff guy here real quick, just for the last word here on this before we go into the second segment and bring John Parker in. If Warzea is sacked 3 weeks ahead of time, what do you think? Where do you think the Crew are right now? What do you think, Nate?
I don't think 3 weeks would have been enough time.
Okay.
2 months.
2 months?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's a fair answer. We'll bring you on in the second segment and actually talk to you a bit more, but you happen to be hovering, so I figured I'd give you that one.
I'll finish my drink.
You do that. All right, we're going to come back. Second segment, John Parker from MLS UK, the Revs writer. He's going to come on. Plus, we're going to talk about a lot of other stuff. It's coming up. Massive Report. You're a punk, and I'm telling everyone. It's the Massive Report segment two. I had to. We have a lot of Five Iron Frenzy fans that listen to this show. I had to do a little Five Iron Frenzy there. You disapproved, Justin.
I disagree.
You don't think we have a lot of Five Iron Frenzy fans.
There are probably
seven. Okay, so here's the deal. If you like that band, you should totally tweet Justin right now.
Yes,
tweet Justin
me,
at Massive City FFC, and then Justin will get mad at you.
Tweet me, and I will tell you that you don't exist.
You're a fake person. Whatever, screw it. All right, live at Hen Docs, by the way. I do want to plug this because we only have a couple weeks of this left until we take our winter break. We're going to go on break from MLS Cup until, like, what, mid-January? Is that what it is?
First or second week of January.
Okay, so you should come out even during the playoffs, which we won't be a part of. But come out anyway because we're going to do some dynamic playoff breakdown and hopefully be able to tell you Guillermo's our new coach.
We are in the podcast playoffs.
We are in the podcast playoffs. No, we already won the podcast playoffs. I don't know what you're talking about. But speaking of podcasts and speaking of people who are awesome, John Parker on the phone / internet with us right now. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you doing, buddy?
Yeah, very well, thanks. Very well. Thanks for having me on the show.
Anytime, man. Anytime. So, John from MLS UK, our resident New England Revolution expert, because he is the New England Revolution writer for MLS UK. And I kind of wanted to get just before we kind of grill you and give you a hard time, your thoughts on Saturday's match and then your thoughts on next Sunday's match as well. So let's start with that.
Let's start with that. I mean, well, firstly, I hope everyone hasn't turned off at the mere mention of me being a New England Revolution writer. But yeah, the game was, well, what can we say about that, really? That was I'm still in shock by it, really. I'm still trying to come to terms with everything that happened. I mean, one minute, you know, your heart's in your mouth, and the next minute you're celebrating, thinking, oh, you know, we went to a winner here. It's brilliant. And then it was a brilliant game. I think, you know, if I would have been a neutral spectator, I think I'd have really enjoyed it. But as it was, I nearly died about four times. but no, it was an insane game. I think there was a bit of controversy in there. I think there was a lot to talk about, and it's making my brain hurt just thinking about it. Obviously, it's going to make for a very interesting article on MLS UK this week.
No, John, there was no controversy. Tony Chani sucks. it was a penalty. I mean, Tony took a guy down in the box because he's dumb. And
it was going away from
that. It
goal.
Was going yeah. away from goal, and he sweep the leg, and yeah, it was bad.
Tony's a
no
berserker.
Controversy.
That's pretty much all that is. He's like Amaro in Final Fantasy VI. That's pretty much all we can say about that.
So John, in all seriousness, lay it out for us. What does New England have to do, or what has to happen for New England to make the playoffs? Obviously, they have to win against the Crew this Sunday, and then. .. What else has to happen?
Well, I think, and someone will probably come in with a smarty pants answer now, but I believe all we have to do is win. That's all we have to do now.
Just win, baby.
Is our job. I think win and we're in. I think we've got an advantage over Houston, I think, and they obviously, very, very luckily for us, they lost against New York, which is the only time I think I've ever cheered for a New York team, which is insane. that was an awesome game yesterday. But obviously it came straight off the Patriots losing to the Jets, so I wasn't, you know, in a particularly great mood for New York at that point. But no, I think all we've got to do is win and we're in. So the horrible thing is, obviously, you know, then you're hoping for a double over Columbus, which I think is just... for me, that's going to be the game of the week, I think, really, in terms of the MLS. I think it's going to be such a hard-fought game. You know, Columbus are not going to want to lose two in a row to New England. They're not going to want to lose their last game of the season or at home. You know, it's going to be a real, real tough game, I think. But, you know, New England have just got to win. That's all they've got to do. They know that's all they've got to do. But equally, I think we're probably going to do it against one of the toughest opponents that we could possibly be asked to do it against. So, yeah. Tough game.
Yeah, it's not going to be a pushover at all. And I'm glad to hear that Columbus can play spoiler. It's about time we ruin somebody else's life for once instead of having ours ruined. It's going to be a nice change if it actually does happen.
Well, the little sweet storyline there is that obviously we've got Chicago are still fighting for their lives as well, and obviously I know you guys hate Chicago
yes.
even more than I do.
Yes.
So obviously if we win and Houston win and Philadelphia win and anything happens to Chicago and they're straight back out, so you know you guys could roll over and let us win and then possibly cause Chicago quite some upsets. So you know that's a nice little gem there. Even if you were to lose,
Justin just sat up there.
So wait,
Justin's scheming.
If the crew
I'm offended
loses,
by the very suggestion.
If the crew
you,
loses on Sunday, then Chicago's in the playoffs. But if the crew wins on Sunday, then Chicago still has a hope. Is that what you're saying?
No. If the crew win, Chicago will probably stay in the playoffs.
Oh, God.
So if the crew lose, then Chicago might go out of the playoffs. I think it's something like that.
Inner conflict. Oh, no.
Because I think the New England could leapfrog Chicago if Chicago don't win, I think is essentially the idea. And then obviously if Houston and Philadelphia, who are below New England, win as well, then it could knock Chicago out of the playoffs.
At least we're all better than Toronto.
Well,
you know, at the end of the day.
There's something.
On paper, we're all better than Toronto. But in real life, we're all just struggling.
Yeah.
Just swimming upstream. It's a big, bad world for everybody not from a large market. Oh, speaking of large markets, John, what do you think is going on in Seattle? I know this is completely not related to anything. I just want to hear somebody talk about it.
I thought you were
going
to say, speaking of large markets, what about London?
How about MLS London?
No. They have a strong community.
Do you think Ipswich Town would want to move to MLS?
No, it's totally, MLS is going to absorb the whole Tigers. Yes, that's exactly what's going to happen.
Oh, dear God.
I like that idea because I'd quite like to get rid of Hull anyway.
Everybody wants to get rid of Hull. Nobody wants Hull.
If you guys could have them, that would be great.
We'll send them down to NASL.
We can't have crew that.
I'm going to wear my Hull City jersey to the next game.
My best friend in the entire world is actually from Hull, so I'm hoping he's not listening to this.
We can't absorb crew, though, because then it would just be way too confusing.
Way too confusing. Or what?
Do you cheer against them on principle?
We had a topic of conversation in the first segment where we were discussing sort of about, do we think that New England is actually a good team?
Yeah.
And
you can ask the New England writer if New England's a good team.
Well,
yeah,
I mean,
that's a fair question.
Do they play good soccer? I mean, there's it's something about MLS where sometimes you can play kind of poor soccer and make it to the playoffs. Some teams that play good soccer don't make the playoffs.
Seattle.
So, I mean, the question would be, what do you think about the style of play for New England?
The style of play for me has this year and last year has massively improved from, I think, where we were left when Steve Nicol was fired. We were playing the horrible long ball football, and then if we did get a goal, then we just kind of did the everyone in the box and hope that we hold on to the 1-0 lead type of football, and it was horrible, and it was just tragic to watch, really. And then obviously Jay Heaps came in, and now we play a lot more sort of fluent style, and we're getting the ball out to the wings, and it's a lot more the kind of football that I'd like to see, and what I would call proper football. I don't think it's quite there. There's a lot more improvements that can be made, but for my money, it's a lot better in the last 2 years. It's a lot better this year than it was last year. We're headed in the right direction, and I think that's kind of being reflected by the fact that we're now almost into the playoffs. I don't even want to tempt fate by saying going to be in the playoffs, but you know, we could potentially be playoff.
I think you should tempt fate. Also.
Totally tempt fate.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always a good idea.
I said about 3 weeks ago that New England were going to make the playoffs, and now I'm so painfully close to being correct about that, and it's like the first time I've ever been right about anything New England. So it's rather painful for me right now.
You should just say nice things about the Red Sox, and then you'll be fine.
You should say, yeah, everybody, yeah.
I mean, quite honest, that's the easiest way to go about it.
I mean, really, how good was Koji Uehara's speech after that game, really? I mean, they asked him what he was feeling, and he literally said, through a translator, I almost threw up. I love it. I love it.
Yeah. I loved his little son as well. They interviewed his son, didn't they? And they said, "How did you feel while your dad was pitching?" And he just said, "I don't know."
I don't know. I was playing with my Nintendo.
So I gotta ask you. I ask you one more question because just for people here, you're a dude from Ipswich, right?
Yes.
And you know, I'm verifying that for you, so you don't even have to go on that because I've been to your house. But you're a dude from Ipswich. How do you become a Revs fan? That's the last question I want to ask you here.
It was a long, and I mean, if you've got time for me to tell you this story,
we do. We're fine.
It's my great uncle moved over to Boston about 50 years ago, and started a greengrocer's, and he fell in love with the sports over there. He was a huge Red Sox fan, and late night TV here, Channel 5 used to show baseball at like 1 a.m. And when I was a student, I used to sort of just lounge about and watch late night TV. And I tuned into a Boston Red Sox game. Long story short, the family connection came through, and the uncle sent me over a cap. And it just kind of flowed from there, every Boston team. And then I moved in with a guy at uni who wrote, who started MLS UK, a guy called Glenn Williams. And he said, you know, "Have you heard about this league, MLS?" And I was like, "What's that?" And so he sort of introduced me, and I said, you know, "What's the team closest to Boston?" And he said the New England Revolution, and it all kind of spiraled from there. So I tried watching for a year, and I was writing these kind of little articles and doing little videos for MLS UK about what it's like getting into American soccer, you know, and it kind of went from there. It became this love affair, and now sort of 4 or 5 years later, I'm obsessed and trying to desperately find some way to, you know, whether I need to make a raft or something to sail over to the USA and catch some MLS games.
That's amazing, man. Dude, John, it's always a good time talking to you. I will see you in January because I'm going to go over there and watch some Ipswich Town matches. I can't even talk to him right now. I'm so excited about going back to Portman Road. I can't even speak.
Come back. Come and see it. It's missing you.
I'm wearing my Ipswich.
All of you guys are welcome as well.
I'm wearing my Ipswich shirt right now, just so you're aware. Yeah,
it's a work of art.
Yeah, it's fantastic. So,
is Ipswich spelled with a J?
Yeah. It's Ipswich.
I think that might be a counterfeit.
It's probably a counterfeit. I bought it at the team store, you ass.
It's totally a counterfeit then.
Looks like
all right, John Parker from MLS UK. Check his stuff out. He's pretty awesome, and he writes about the Revs. So thank you so much for coming in. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks so much for having me on the show, guys. I really appreciate it.
Yeah,
absolute pleasure.
Yeah. Most definitely.
Go Sox.
All right, so going from there, obviously the crew have an opportunity to play spoiler Sunday. I want to get kind of everybody's rapid fire before we go into the third segment here. What do you think is going to happen? We're going to do this early because we're going to talk about other stuff during the third and fourth segment.
We got a big week coming up.
We do. Yeah. We have a lot of stuff coming up. Team awards are coming up. A lot of the other stuff's coming up
There's a big Kirk Grosso Foundation announcement tomorrow night.
I know. That's third segment, Chris. Come on.
I'm teasing.
Come on.
I'm learning from the master, and I'm teasing.
But what do you think, Nate? What's going to happen on Sunday?
I think they're going to go at it like a party. The crew, it's not, they should not, I don't think, treat this like it's, well, let's put, you know, Trap up top and experiment to the hilt. I wouldn't hope they would do that at least. I hope they go out, play in the style that they have been the last 7 or 8 games, and do their best to really just enjoy themselves on the field. Enjoy the fans, you know, feel it, so that it carries over into next year.
All right, Justin, what do you think is going to happen?
I don't know. I think it's hard to say. It really is. I mean, there's really nothing to play for.
Yeah.
Other than pride.
Yeah.
And I've heard, is Grunebaum going to play in goalkeeper? That's the rumor that I've heard, that he's going to start.
Hmm,
I think really? That if he does, then I think that says something about where they think he's going to be next year, which I think means somewhere else. I think
like
if he does,
proving
if
that he can
does
still
play,
play
you think he's going to be somewhere else?
Like, I think healthy enough to play.
It almost sounds sort of ceremonial.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I heard that they were saying, you know, if he's ready to go, he's going to play next week. If we lose, and we lost,
Yeah.
And I think, and I'm not against that.
Yeah.
I think if you can get stuff for Randy Grunebaum, then you should do it, because I think Matt Lampson is going to be your goalkeeper going forward.
Yeah.
So this will be interesting to see how that happens. Other than that, I think there's going to be a lot of changes in the off season, no matter who's the manager. And so this is the last time we're going to get to see some of these guys. And so some of these guys are going to be playing for jobs in the future. So
is this essentially the first preseason game of next year?
No, because...
No.
Well, I mean, it depends.
Job-wise. Contract-wise.
If people start playing for themselves, the whole thing just falls apart, though.
Yeah. No, I get that.
So...
But do you think the players would take that mentality?
I don't.
It's a valid question.
Look at a player like Jairo Arrieta, for instance.
Yeah.
I think he has had a terrible year.
Yeah.
At one point, I was watching the game on Saturday, and yesterday we got together. I was talking to some people, and I said, "Do you think there's any way possible that he's with the team next year?"
Right.
And we were split. There was four of us there. Two of us said yes. Two of us said no. So what is he going to do in this final game of the year? Is he going to go out and score three goals and get a hat trick and hold his spot for next year? I don't know, but it's going to be like that for a lot of players.
Yeah.
And he's one of them.
Yeah.
I don't know if anything could bring Tony Chani back.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, he'd have to take
Tyson Wall, I think.
He'd have
Tyson
to take
Wall's
another
gone.
Pay cut. Yeah.
I think Augustin Viana is, I don't know what's going to happen to him. If they're really looking at this left back from Costa Rica, I believe.
Yeah.
Was the rumor? Then we're looking at a change at that spot too.
Yeah.
So these guys have things to play for, even though the team doesn't have things to play for. So it's hard to say that it's a preseason game. It's actually a competitive match where they're playing against a team that has everything to lose.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can prove what you can do.
That's a good question. Chris, you had something that you wanted to bring
up.
Yeah,
I'm going to defer to Brian Bliss on this one. Coach Bliss's post-game quotes, he was asked this very question, and his answer was, "We owe it to our fans to put the best product out there next weekend. It's not going to all of a sudden turn around and throw seven guys out who haven't played all season. We've got to go play. We've got to go play for our fans and for ourselves. It's certainly not a game we're going to be throwing away, by no means." So I think that Bliss is saying that he may not play 11, you know, starters, but he's definitely not going to throw out the reserve squad and hope for the best just to get them minutes. I think that we're still going to see the regular guys in their regular positions. We're going to see Higuain. We're going to see Will Trapp. We're going to see Tony Chani. We might see a Justin Miriam in place of a Jairo Arrieta, but I think that we're definitely going to see mostly regulars.
Okay, awesome. All right, we're going to come back third segment. We're going to talk crew awards and a lot of other stuff as well. It's coming up, third segment, Massive Report on the way. I can't remember when I've ever had so much fun. Segment three of the Massive Report, crew awards rapid fire segment. Mr. Sam going to be starting that whole thing. A lot of stuff to talk about. Crew awards ceremony this Tuesday at some place that has wine.
That's tomorrow.
Yeah, I know.
Or tonight if you're listening today.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
fair enough.
there's not a lot of people that download it right away and listen to it on Monday night.
But we love those people.
Now I'm upset.
Yeah.
So, Sam, go ahead and give us your first rapid-fire question that we're going to pose to the entire table.
See all their
tweets. All right, we'll start with the easy one. Team MVP.
Team MVP, Chris.
Tony Chani.
Justin.
I was going to say Drew Becky.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
No, it's Federico Higuain.
All right. Larry.
Higuain. I would say.
Nate.
Most valuable Pipa.
Yeah. I'm going to say Higuain as well. Sam, next one.
Am I really the only Tony Chani fan?
Yeah, I know. Crazy. Weird, huh?
Weird.
Who's yours, Sam?
You might get some hate tweets about that.
Yeah, whatever.
Who's yours, Sam?
I will have to say Federico. I mean, yeah. There's really no...
Yeah, there's no
you
other.
You really can't go
yeah. It's, no, it's Higuain.
It's not Justin Miram.
Defender of the year?
All right. Chris?
Though he hasn't played much, Josh Williams.
All right. Justin?
Okay, the point of order. Can a goalkeeper be a defender of the year?
Ooh!
I always have this discussion.
I think that happened... Last year or 2 years ago. So, yes.
Yes.
Then I would say Matt Lampson.
All right. Larry.
I would say consistently through the year would be Chad Marshall.
All right. Nate.
Boy. Got all these names running through my head. Viana.
Eric Gehry.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. All right, Sam, what do you say?
I say that it's. I can't give it to Chad. I'll give it to Chad Barson.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
because
that's actually a really good call.
Because he actually,
yeah.
He you know, when called upon, he played both sides. He played left and right.
Mm-hmm.
He's actually played pretty well for a rookie, so.
Chad Barson is the new Josh Williams.
As a, yeah, I mean, and I love Josh.
I think
barring injury, Josh would have definitely been my defensive
end. He would have as well, yeah.
Yeah, but given the circumstances, I think I give my defender of the year to Chad Barson.
Okay, next.
Okay. Mel? Rookie of the year.
Ooh. Chris.
Will Trapp.
Yeah. Justin?
Again, well,
Can it be a...
No. That one can't.
Well, no, because he's not a rookie.
Yeah, he's not a rookie.
He's not a rookie.
Yeah. He's not a rookie.
Can
a rookie.
Change it to newcomer of the year?
It could be newcomer of the year, yeah.
It could be newcomer of the year, yeah.
Because soccer doesn't really have rookies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Newcomer of the year.
If it's newcomer of the year, then it's Dominic Oduro.
Okay.
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 All right.
I would have to agree with it. If it's newcomer to the league, I would say I liked what Viana did this year.
Okay. What do you say, Nate?
Oduro.
All right. To me, if it's newcomer of the year, it's Lampson.
But Lampson's not new.
How many games did he play last year?
It doesn't matter. He was on the team.
It doesn't matter. He didn't play.
All right.
Yeah.
I think the way MLS defines it.
So I get to do what
it.
I want.
I think newcomer of the year is going to come down to either Dominic Oduro or Will Trapp.
Yeah.
Possibly Chad Barson.
It's going to be Will Trapp because they want to make sure Will Trapp gets something.
Yeah, they're
yeah.
Not, I'm not saying that in a bad way.
No,
I'm just saying
exactly
that
right.
They want to do it. That's
all right. Next one.
Golden Boot.
Golden
one.
Boot.
Crap, I don't actually know who has the most goals. Is it Oduro has the most goals?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Then Dominic Oduro.
Yeah. Justin.
By a nose over Tony Chani.
Well, it's the one who has the most goals, right?
Yeah.
Yes,
so I'm going to say Dominic Oduro.
Right. Yeah. Larry.
Dominic Oduro, but he still has yet to pass Andres Mendoza. As
the yes. Can we make a – say that again?
The Condor strikes again.
Mendoza still holds the yeah. – since when?
Mendoza!
Jeez, it's been
yeah.
it's
been
3 years.
What, 2011?
Yeah.
Forever.
2 years, 3 years.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's
yeah.
glorious seasons. 3 years.
He also – Oduro, and he also ate the most pizza during match.
Yes, that
yeah.
is true.
I agree with that. I agree with that. My pick is going to be Santiago Prim.
Oh, all right.
No,
go with the dark
Oduro,
horse.
Oduro. next.
Here's one that will take some thinking. Goal of the year.
Ooh.
Can I give it to – can I – can I give it to the 30-yard header from Sebastian Miranda again?
yes, you can.
Because
I don't care it didn't
because
happen
I don't
year.
Remember any goals from this year, but I still remember that.
All right.
Wow, if you don't remember, that's
Justin.
Pretty sad.
But there have really been no, like, holy crap moments this year.
You're full of crap.
Okay, then
go home, Chris, you're drunk.
As soon as somebody else says then it, you're going to be like, oh, yeah,
prove me wrong.
Well, I mean, I would like to say it's one of Peepa's chips.
Yeah.
Yes,
because either one of those
good.
Were just
yes.
fantastic. And the fact that he did them in back-to-back weeks was
yes.
incredible. But I got to say that Chad Marshall's header against
Montreal.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
That was the goal of the year. I think that meant the most.
No, but that's not what the award is. The award is for the prettiest goal, not the goal that means the most.
Is that what? Are we sure that's what it was for?
Yeah. Are we 100% sure?
The most
that?
Beautiful goal that counts the same as every other
this
goal?
This is the Major League Soccer.
All right.
And yes, that's what the
Your
goal is.
Your goal's beautiful.
Right. I mean, they gave it to. They gave it. What was the year they gave it to the kid, Darlington Nagbe, for the bike in a game that didn't mean anything in his rookie year, and everybody knew he was going to be great. And they just gave it to him because it was a gorgeous bicycle from 25
yeah.
yards.
Fair enough. Larry?
I think it's one of Higuain's.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call them.
The chips. Like running chips.
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, those were still good goals, but they're not as memorable to me as Seba's 25-yard header.
To me, that second one was because it was during that time in September when it reignited the hope of the fans.
Yeah,
I think that to
but
me
it wasn't.
I'm laying importance on it.
It's not.
I have the, as someone who watched it
yeah.
and reacted to it. That's the one I reacted to the most the whole year.
I have the same thing. Second chip from Peepa.
Okay.
What do you think? What do you think, Sam?
Yeah, one of those chips is going to win it.
Yeah,
because that's you know.
Oh, we're watching it right
now.
Yeah, we're watching it right now. Yeah, damn. That's
yeah.
insane.
I mean, it's a pretty goal.
It's super
and
pretty.
And I suppose it probably is the prettiest of the year.
Now, take this part of the podcast.
Well,
go to your computer and watch it on TV.
Wait, well, and if we're going to talk about those pretty goals, what about Dominic Kudrow's crazy from, almost behind the
crazy
net?
Crazy angle goal?
Yeah.
It was a Larry Bird goal.
That was
awesome.
That was insane.
And the Dominic Kudrow goal from the way beginning of the year against, was it Chivas, where he scored on the...
Well, he just took off.
He just...
Oh, the 70-yard
race. Yeah, the 70-yard
race. That was amazing.
Yeah, so
it was amazing. There are other,
that's because
there
he's
are
fast.
Other nominees.
I don't know.
There are nominees, but...
I'm just going to kill that now because it can go on forever. Comeback player of the year.
Chris.
Comeback player of the year.
Nate,
we'll go backwards.
Anor?
Yeah.
All right.
Even though he's having a secret relationship with my wife.
Larry.
But you're okay with it.
Yeah. Larry,
and
what
he
do you think?
He doesn't know about it.
It's hard to pass up Anor for this.
Yeah.
I mean, coming off that, the ACL, that's huge.
Yeah. Justin, what do you think?
I agree.
Yeah. Chris?
Yeah, given my options here, Bernard Anor.
Me too.
I do think, once again, it's going to come down to Chad Marshall or Bernardo Nor. Chad did have a better year. Chad did have a better year this year than he did last year.
What's he coming back from?
He's coming back from ankle surgery. That's what he's coming back from.
I'm just saying.
I don't think he had a great year.
The Kirk Urso Hart Award.
Hart Award.
The Kirk Urso Hart Award.
All right, Kirk Urso Hart Award.
In all honest-to-God seriousness, Will Trapp. Will Trapp plays balls to the wall for 90 minutes every time he steps on the field.
Yeah. All right. Justin?
Eric Gehrig.
Hell yeah. No,
yeah.
Honest to God.
Yeah, when the guy plays, he gives everything he's got.
Yeah.
Yeah, and off the field as well.
I find him
to be inspiring.
His vine is amazing.
Honestly, I like him.
Yeah.
And I think
I do too.
Years ago, I thought he was going to be our new Duncan Outen.
Yeah.
And I kind of still think he can do that. So.
Yeah. Larry.
Sticking with Gehrig, I think, the players I like with the heart are Williams, Gehrig, and Miram.
Yeah.
And I think Trapp has a lot of that in him. So somewhere in there are the guys, and I'm sure I'm missing someone, but somewhere in there, those are the guys that have the heart.
Nate.
Williams?
Yep.
I'm going to go in a different direction here, although I agree with the Gehrig thing 100%. Off the field, Lampson.
Off the field, Lampson. Yeah.
That's my thought.
There's another category.
That's actually what I was going to say.
I'm not saying that Lampson doesn't have heart on the field. Please do not take it that way.
Right.
I'm just saying, the sheer amount of time and effort that he's dedicated into leukemia lymphoma.
You can give it to both of those guys.
Yeah.
That's what it's called.
Yeah.
Two hearts that beat as one.
The two-hearted. Yeah. The bell is two-hearted.
Yes.
Yeah.
There you go.
Sam, what do you got? What do you got?
Sorry, Sam. Sorry.
I don't know who's presented by, but it's like the community, the community award.
It's the Crew Foundation Award.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then I screwed up because that probably would. That's
Matt Lampson.
Well, I'll say Matt Lampson, and we'll go backwards for this one. Nate.
Lampson.
Larry.
Lampson or Enora.
Yeah, Lampson or Enora. Yeah, I know.
He's a hero on and off the field.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, they sent him all the signings, like, in freaking, like, the North Pole.
it would be.
Guest bartending. Enora's going to be there.
Well, Justin, and Aaron Schoenfeld.
They used to do that with Duncan, too, for everything.
Yeah, I'd say Lampson or Enora.
Right. It's hard for us to know what these folks are doing in their office.
Yeah, I'm going to say. Actually, I'm going to say either Matt Lampson or Justin Merriam. Justin Merriam has that soccer camp for kids that he does.
Yeah, good point.
Yeah. All right, Sam?
I think that's it for the crew awards.
Okay, so wait.
Who do you see?
Wait, I've got a question.
What awards would you like to make up?
I don't want to make up an award quite just yet. But
propping up and burying during the
awards. That's actually the question that I was kind of going to float is, do you think that they will give, and this is terrible of me, I feel like a horrible person for asking it, but I'm going to do it anyway because it's a valid point. Do you think they will throw an award at Conrad Barzia just because he's Conrad Barzia?
No.
Nope.
No.
I mean, give him something.
Cutting that cord. I don't think Conrad gets re-signed.
I don't think he does either.
Well, he's making minimum wage. Why not resign him just for the reserves?
Why?
Because he's not a terrible player. He's got a terrible last name.
Not to sound like a dick. I mean, they have any awards or anything around the reserve games? Do they recognize?
No.
Whatsoever.
No.
I guess unless they win the whole thing.
Exactly.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. But even when they did win the whole thing, the award that was given to them was presented by the Hudson Street Hooligans.
Yeah.
So, and then we got kicked out.
Okay.
Oh, that happened.
Yeah, that was.
That's
great.
That's the thing that happened. Justin looks like a fish out of water right now. What do you guys say?
I'm not a big fan of the Crew Awards.
Really?
I really am not.
Are you a fan of awards, period?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so
I feel
you just
like
don't like superlatives.
In MLS, there is, a trophy every week for every, cut and slice of type of player.
Yeah.
Defender of the week, offender of the week, goalie of the week, like 12th man of the week. It just,
I'm usually a offender of the week.
Numb
I'm just saying.
To it all.
Do you know why they do this?
For money? I don't know.
In my opinion, it's to keep the fans' short attention span engaged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because, now I do think that, like, end-of-the-year awards, I think every team does that.
Yeah.
And it's really more for the fans than it is for the players. The players are like, that's great. We love it. Actually, I've got better reactions from the players when we gave them the golden shin guard than we've gotten players receiving, like, an actual award from, a major sponsor of the Columbus Crew or a major sponsor of MLS. So, in that term, I think it's really more for the player/fan interaction and time than it is anything else.
You mentioned sponsorship. I mean, it's a chance for sponsorship. Exactly. It's a reason to write about a player. It's a reason, it's a resume accumulator.
And most of these events are for charity anyway.
Didn't we forget an award? Don't they do like a utility player of the year award? Because Danny got it last year, the utility guy. Just a player who does everything that he's called upon to do award.
Yeah, I think it's called the We Ordered an Extra Award, and Who Wants an Award.
We've got this extra
trophy. I think
that's
actually what it's called. It's the We Ordered an Extra Award, and Who Wants an Extra Award.
That's nice.
Award.
I like this. Award.
I'll take it.
This is the first time forever that they haven't done a casino night, which I'm a little upset about, because I had a great time gambling with Julius James last year. I'm just saying.
Right.
I will say,
Nemanja Vukovic's entire being was always good to be there.
His family was awesome.
His family was
and he has the cutest baby ever.
I'm glad you said baby.
Yes. I said cute. I didn't say something else.
No, I mean, look, the awards is a good time. It really is. And you should go. If you've been invited, you should go.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to come out like I was hating on the awards. It's just, it's...
Well, no,
it's just
thing.
Like another thing
it's
that's
a thing
kinda,
that happens. Yeah.
Here's why I think tomorrow is important that they switched away from casino night, too. I think Precourt is intentionally trying to show that this is a new regime. And I think he'll actually be there tomorrow, which is something in the 5 years that I've covered the team so far, I don't think the Hunts have ever showed up at Crew Team Awards. Even the year that, well, the year they won the MLS Cup, the party was before the playoffs, so nobody, you know, they wouldn't have known at that point.
If he's there, look, please don't go to our new owner and be like, boy, you need to hire this guy. Don't do that. That really bugs me so much.
Leave Anthony alone!
I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they're like, who had talked to him at some point in time over the last few weeks and had said to him, don't listen to anything that anybody says on Twitter. That's just the greatest advice possible.
Justin, the internet is going to yell at you. I tried to not talk to the guy about soccer, and I got torn apart. So if you're going to talk to Anthony Briecourt, you have to talk to him about soccer. Give him advice on coaching and designated players and cars to buy and places to live.
I had a great conversation with him about beer for about a minute and a half. Right.
And then
The only time I've talked to Anthony Precourt the entire time.
Talk to him about cars.
If you're going to talk to – the rule amongst Crew Soccer Nation is that if you're going to talk to a member of the front office, you absolutely must talk soccer 100% of the time or else you're not a candidate for Realist Fan of the Year.
Yeah, well, that's why Mike Halo wants to choke me out.
Sorry, I forgot a very, very important award.
Oh, God.
Fan of the Year award.
Oh, crap. We have to do this on the show?
Yeah, let's not do this.
He's here. Seriously.
Larry? Okay, glad I'm not the only one who thought that.
Yeah, no, I know.
It's totally Larry.
Yeah, it's totally Larry. Larry is Fan of the Year.
Yeah, I bet I am.
Yeah.
Larry, it's because of your choices in bourbon.
I don't get the feeling that I write stuff.
No, totally. Totally. Larry,
you know
I
what?
Just
the,
started bleeding.
The front office reads your tweet, your stuff. The front office reads your stuff. That's why you're getting Fan of the Year.
Oh, boy.
Larry
I thought
is
I was having
the
stigmata all of a sudden. I was like, I'm bleeding from my wrists. How did this happen?
Okay, so
this
so
is a first for podcasts, I think.
What about supporter? Supporter of the year.
Well, that's obviously.
Also still
obviously.
Larry. Yeah, still Larry.
Oh God, I could make so many jokes, but I have friends who are soccer fans, and I don't want to go there.
You have friends in low places. What you're saying?
Yeah, okay. I don't want to burn any bridges before the end of the year. We'll go there next week.
Here's a question.
Hey, Justin, what are you doing on Tuesday?
Well, here's a serious question.
You should be my date.
I'm painting.
Yeah, Justin's going
to
be painting.
I'm going to try to be painting.
Whilst they're handing out the award for Realist Crew Fan of the Year.
Here's a question. Like I always, last year was the first year that they had the award ceremony when we didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah.
And it was a noticeable difference.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering what the attitude of these guys is going to be tomorrow night.
It's a hard
thing for those guys to do this.
Because we're
not in the playoffs. The season's basically over. I remember after 2011, we had a really weird season, but we made the playoffs, and it was crazy. I remember sitting there thinking, holy cow, how many times can they say that this was an incredible season?
Yeah.
They kept saying it over and over and over again. I'm sitting there thinking, this was a terrible season.
Yeah.
This season was just a loss. I mean, we're going to play in the playoffs. That's right. But this should not have happened.
Yeah.
We should not be where we are.
Yeah.
But they were selling it over and over and over again. Like, look at what we did. We knew we were going to have a success. We knew what we were doing and all this stuff. And I guess my eyes at some point just kind of glossed over, and I just couldn't take it.
Yeah.
And last year was a little bit more, I would say,
subdued,
a little more humble, a little more like, this is actually hard. And we're going to, but we're going to try.
See this one being more of a rah-rah, here's where we're going, just because of that change in leadership.
Right. And I hope so. I think it's more.
I think Precourt gets up there and says a few words.
Yeah. Oh, he will.
I hope that it's not a sales job. And that's what I hope tomorrow is not. And I won't, right now I don't think I'm going to be there. But I hope that it's not, I hope that they're not marketing to their core, because they don't need to do that. We know what's going on. It's a time to be honest. It's a time to say we need to build something.
Yeah.
And not be like, that 2011 ceremony, every other word was massive. I'm not even kidding.
Oh, no.
At some point, we were doing, we were up in the balcony doing a drinking contest.
Yeah.
It's like, if next time you hear the word massive, you know, you do two shots. And yeah, we were just blitzed.
Yeah. No, totally.
So.
Well, and it's funny because it took them until 2011 to discover the word.
Yeah, it did. It really did. All right, we're going to come back segment four, talk about next week. A lot of stuff coming up. It's a massive report. Back, segment four, Massive Report, live at Hendox. Make sure you join us at least till the end of the playoffs every single Monday night.
Yeah, we're going to be here no matter what because we like to drink.
Yeah, we do. We do.
And Willie's going to be serving up $2 drafts no matter what the crew's doing.
No, pretty much. Yeah. So you should come out and join us. I do want to touch about this before we go into the New England game next week. But I do want to touch on this for a little bit. Nate has some things to talk about here.
Nate's got a topic for discussion.
He does. MLS
therapy session.
MLS Disciplinary Committee. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, so I mean,
amongst yourself.
It's not like I come from a I hate the disciplinary committee scene. Well, there are the pundits, you know, who just every week talk about how it's retro reffing and this and that. But starting really with the Portland Seattle mass confrontation, like bonkers situation
for
that happened Sunday night before actually last podcast, but Seattle just lost their crap, and people were bumping the AR, and it was just way out of control.
Was anyone twerking?
I'm sure.
Yeah, if anybody was
double checking,
it was Clint Dempsey.
Yeah,
and you know the penalties that came down with that later last week were feeble at best. I think the whole organization, like the Seattle Sounders as a club, was fined like $5,000.
Yeah,
which probably doesn't take him too long to take care of, since
yeah, Deuce just pulled. Yeah.
That was in his shin guard, and then
MLS did MLS pay for that?
It's a legit question.
Yeah, that really is.
Legit question. It is.
And then I think Ziggy got fined $1,000 because it was their second mass confrontation.
Can we?
So way to like implement a rule and then just do absolutely nothing with it.
As a league, can we get out of the JV when it comes to fines? I mean, at least the NBA fines guys five digits, you know, $10,000, yeah, $15,000.
I think they must take on kind of the Swedish cop take on getting fined for speeding.
Abort.
So, you know, they fine you based on your income.
Okay,
so if you
so Chad Barson would get fined $300,
yes,
but Clint Dempsey gets fined $1.4 million.
That's right.
Okay,
how did you know that?
Well, I have a guy.
You looked this up?
Yeah, I know a guy. I've got an insider.
So that originally discouraged me just from last week's like slap on the wrist, and then coming into, you know, I saw the highlights. I didn't watch the match, but you know he obviously and on camera kicked out at another player,
yeah,
not off the play, but
definitely
off the ball.
It was a dead
and
ball.
Yeah. And what are they going to do? What's MLS going to do? Are they going to suspend the most well-paid player in the league, and they're in a giant match. Seattle's at home hosting LA. Playoff, spots are on the line. They're in, but you know what's going to happen.
They're not.
Speaking of big names getting special treatment, did Landon Donovan score last night?
He did not.
He did not. Okay. Did anyone?
0-0.
Oh yeah, it was a 0-0. It was a 0-0.
Because he has to do that in Seattle.
I don't know if anybody else watched
the biggest game of the year.
Right. I don't know if anybody else watched that game, but I watched about 19 seconds of it, and then when I looked up at the score box, I saw the hashtag was Landon 135, and I went, "Yep, going to turn this off."
Yep.
The score, meaning in the stadium?
No. The ESPN.
They had a graphic.
Yeah. You know, they have the little thing that has the score.
Yeah. Gotcha.
The bug.
Because they did that for Jeff Cunningham too, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
And they also did it. Yeah, for all those other times that small market teams have done awesome things. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Landon Donovan's done a lot of good for the league and the sport in America in general. But come on,
he's also a Romulan.
He likes ramen?
He's a Romulan.
He's a Romulan.
Look at him. He's a Romulan. I mean that in the nicest way possible, but Landon Donovan is a Romulan. I'm just saying. Mike Senske has just shown up here.
Gifts.
Mike Senske, is Landon Donovan a Romulan?
Yes.
Yeah, that's all we got there. That's all we got.
Well, there you have it, folks.
Live long and prosper, Mike.
The league's knob gobbling is just getting out of hand.
I have people who deliver jackets to me when I'm cold.
You just brought in a jacket.
I don't know if you know this or not, but I'm King S of F Mountain.
Did you sign up? Did you like throw the jacket symbol up into the sky?
I did. And then
during the last break,
jacket.
Senske,
amazing.
Sensed it. He was like, "Oh, Matt's cold.
Gotta get him a jacket. That's all it is.
Matt Gusher needs a jacket."
He was wearing a cape.
Wonder
he really
team.
Was.
And
really
tights.
Was.
And tights.
Well, I think, look, this is... This was a Halloween. This is a... There's a something that should be asked, and is... I think that this league desperately wanted... That some aspects of this league...
Some ass in this league.
Someone in this league...
Justin Bell, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
Justin Bell.
Some ass... Well, no, some guy wanted. They really wanted Seattle to be the scene for the MLS Cup. They wanted
really?
To keep that. They wanted to keep that possibility alive.
No,
because if you have 60,000 people, in an MLS Cup on television, then it's going to be a selling point.
Given how Dempsey's played lately, they should suspend him because
they've
lost more games than they've won. They're 2-3 when he starts.
Well, and look at what's happened though in the last two
scored.
Weeks. They've been really bad,
mm-hmm.
and now they've made the playoffs, but they are in a position where they could not get a home game for that that wild card game, and if they have sucked on the road all year long, they've been terrible. On the other hand, they've been pretty good at home. So if they have to play this game, their wild card match, depending on the results, Colorado could jump them before.
Colorado looks nasty right now.
Yeah, and Colorado will slaughter them.
Yeah.
They already have.
No, they really will again. Because Colorado plays good soccer.
They do.
Whereas Seattle just gets the ball forward and hopes for the best.
Yeah. So are we calling Colorado New England? Is that what's going to happen?
We're calling Colorado.
Calling it.
Well, you know what? It could be Colorado. You know, here's the team I'm rooting for this weekend is New York.
Hmm.
And it's...
Because you want them to get the Supporter Shield and finally win a cup?
Or win something? Before the season, I picked them to win the Supporter Shield.
Yeah.
I thought the reason was because the only thing that was holding them back was would Mike Petke be able to coach those guys? And I think he's been able to coach them by not coaching them.
Mm-hmm.
By being kind of an inspirational leader. And by saying, you know, we're not going to quit, kind of keeping that thing going.
Hmm.
And just letting Thierry Henry basically be Thierry Henry.
Tim Cahill be Tim Cahill.
Yeah.
And they're... So
Did
I'm rooting for
see
them.
Did Cahill's goal? His 7-second goal?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It was gorgeous.
Incredible.
And it was a gorgeous team goal. It wasn't just Tim Cahill. That was drawn up beautifully. The entire sequence of events.
They said they practice
beautiful
a startup. It's not necessarily they practice the off the shoulder.
No. But they practice getting the ball forward as fast as possible.
Absolutely,
that was gorgeous. Yeah.
But I think what's going to happen now is if New York goes in as the Supporters Shield favorites, or Supporters Shield winner, then they're going to be the favorites to have home field throughout the playoffs, and MLS Cup could end up being at RBN. Red Bull
Stadium
Arena.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, RBA and Y.
That would, and that would be, I think that would be better, honestly.
Better than Seattle.
It's a natural turf field. It's in the media capital of the world.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if it's New York versus Colorado or New York versus LA.
Yeah, but guys.
New York, LA.
Guys, yeah. HBO has never done a special about New York.
That's true.
Did you guys see the HBO The Real Sports of Brian Gumbel segment about the Seattle Sounders?
I missed it. No. I did not see it. I've heard about it.
They did this thing, and it was a segment about the Seattle Sounders and when they signed Clint Dempsey, and also about how Sounders fans walk to the match. It was about the Sounders fans march to the match, and they treated it as though it was new to American sports, let alone American soccer, and no team in the history of anything has ever marched through town to a match. And this was actually said. It was said during the piece that it was a unique thing to American soccer. And I, as a guy in Columbus who walked from Ruby's to Crew Stadium for at least 3 years.
Across the tracks.
And also on behalf of all the other 16 teams in the league who have fans that walk from their favorite bar to the match in an organized manner.
Yep.
I literally pulled a muscle rolling my eyes.
Yeah.
It was just the media and leagues. I don't even. I gotta stop.
Well, it'll be interesting. I think the Times doesn't cover the Red Bulls.
No, actually, nobody does.
Wait, no, they do.
The Post does.
The Times has a blog dedicated to the Red Bulls.
Didn't they shut it down? Yeah, they shut the gold blog down. Yeah, they shut it down.
Oh, okay. Well, then never mind.
Shut it down.
Point withdrawn.
It's just, I mean, it's such a sad thing. You said the biggest media market in the country, in the world.
Who gives a damn?
Right. I mean,
they talk more about the
media doesn't cover it.
They talk more about the New York Cosmos and the New York Times than they do about
it would not be surprising to me if that's because there's some bad blood between someone at MLS, Don Garber, and the New York Times. You know how the New York Times is. They are very finicky, and Don Garber is very stupid. And he may have burned that bridge a while ago.
You should get Who Mark knows? Fishkin from Seeing Red on here to explain exactly what's going on with all that. Because I follow him on Twitter, and every week, I swear, once or twice a week, the Times are covering soccer. But it's a story about, like, an Argentine boy who is playing... You know, for Liverpool or something like that.
Or it's a story about the awesome support at Nevada Smiths for the Italian national team.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. But this gets into something, too, that I maybe we'll talk about here or sometime. But it's the idea of using alternative media to be how MLS is built.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the winter schedule and the permutations regarding television.
Right.
Yeah. Like, And for me, I would really like to see this league basically just, you know, give the bird to television.
Yeah.
And be like, we don't really need you.
Yeah.
Because this is like trying to, I don't know, you're trying to do business with a dinosaur. I mean, the cable,
roar!
You know, television
Sign
is
Sign a Netflix contract.
Yeah. I mean, do something like that.
Stream
do something
it on
where
Netflix. Stream it on YouTube.
That'd be...
Yeah, I mean, YouTube is throwing money around. Netflix is throwing money around. If you're going to be new media, if you're going to be a league that's devoting itself to new media, go all in. Screw NBC Sports. Reach out to Netflix or Amazon. God, Jeff Bezos would love to air MLS games.
Can you imagine that? How great that would be?
Air MLS games on Amazon Prime. And you have to have an Amazon Prime membership to get MLS games. But you get all of the MLS games.
Sense.
Yeah. If you're gonna go to
$79 a year,
happen
to know this,
and that's what it takes to get MLS Direct, whatever the crap
Direct
it is,
kick,
the crappy soccer app on my phone, which is stupid, and we ran about that all the time.
I mean,
Justin, how many times has the app crashed on your iPad while we've been doing the show tonight?
A few times.
But Amazon never crashes.
No. I will say the MLS app has saved me from having. Couple years traveling a lot.
It's been great.
Love the fact that I've got all MLS games on my phone in my pocket for like $50.
A pile of horse manure is better than nothing, but
it's not a pile of horse manure.
It's definitely not better than nothing.
It's way better than that. I feel it.
Well, it's better than what we had in 1990.
I mean, as somebody who owns a couple of piles of horse manure, I'm just saying.
But everybody's been dealing with a pile of horse manure forever.
Yeah. I completely agree with your point, Justin. If you're going to go new media, go all in.
Yeah, let's do this.
Yeah.
Let's have something.
Jeff Bezos just bought the freaking Washington Post. Why can't he buy it?
I completely agree with you. All right, let's do one thing real quick here just before we get done. New England game, Sunday. Last game of the season, nothing to play for.
I have an announcement to make regarding the game.
All right.
I'm coming straight from a wedding.
Oh,
which
God.
Means that I won't have a chance to stop and buy beer on the way for the tailgate. So if people could provide me with beer,
whatever.
That'd be great.
I'm going to Coe and Cambria afterwards,
Tuesday
so I can't get too drunk.
Okay, so I'll drink your beer.
Today. Yeah,
okay, cool.
That makes sense.
Anyway,
makes sense.
I didn't want to interrupt you. All right,
so
what
do you think is going to happen, Chris?
I said it earlier while we were off the air, but I've been saying it all year. This team is due for a super serious, ugly blowout in their favor.
Yeah.
And I don't think 5 goals are out of the question here. In all seriousness, I'm projecting 5-1.
All right, Jables.
I think it's a hard-fought 3-3 draw.
All right, that makes sense. Larry, what do you got?
I think it's a lot like last week. It's like New England has everything to play for.
Yeah.
And the Crew don't really have anything, and usually these games turn out very badly for teams like the Crew.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be fairly wide open, so a lot
cathartic.
Like last week. But
yeah.
I think New England wins, so.
All right. What do you think? What do you think, Nate?
I'm a fan of the Eagles. Tone it down.
They're your secret girlfriend.
I'm bleeding again.
Yeah, I guess I'm gonna say I think that the team is actually gonna be very inspired for this game. I think they're gonna see kind of where they are, and a lot of them are playing for their jobs, and I think they're gonna go out and at least play very hard. Hopefully that translates into goals.
Yeah, fair
I'm
enough.
I'm going to say 2-1 win.
All right. I'm going to say 1-0 win for the Crew.
Okay.
Because, well, I'd like to see the Giant blow out. I don't necessarily think it's going to happen. Sam, what do you think? Yeah.
That's exactly
Giant sigh.
This could be like a 0-0-1-1 tie only because all the angst that New England has to want to make the playoffs, plus all the angst that the Crew has to from not making the playoffs, and they're just going to butt heads again.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Can
it
I
makes
say,
sense.
What do you think? What do you think Brian Bliss is going to wear?
Yeah, his sweater was awesome.
I loved it.
It was super yellow.
Yeah, yeah. That was. I don't know what he had underneath it. The yellow stripe on the black was kind of.
I think he's a little pale to pull that off.
I don't know. But
he should go back to black.
You know what though? I loved it, and I loved it because when you looked at Brian Bliss, and then you looked at Jay Heaps, it was like looking at two characters from the Royal Tenenbaums.
it was like looking at two characters from a Wes Anderson movie.
Yeah, it was like this is Wes Anderson's version of MLS.
If I'm him, I wear
amazing.
A suit.
Those are always
amazing.
All
right, guys, thank you so much. Thank you so much to everybody. John Parker, who phoned in from England for this. For Sam, Chris, Justin, Larry, Nate,
Michael Sensky.
Everybody who was involved. What?
Michael Sensky.
Mike Sensky, who showed up for like a half a second and brought me my jacket. Everybody who was on the show tonight, thank you so much. This has been the Massive Report Podcast. Life is a storm, my young friend. You'll bask in the sunlight one moment and be shattered on the rocks in the next. What makes you a man is what you do when that storm comes. You must look into that storm and shout as you did at Rome. Do your worst, for I'll do mine. Then you know the fates will know you as I know you.